Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Now, this particular account of what Jesus says to his troubled disciples is also recorded for us in Matthew 14 and John 6. So three of the four Gospels record this very setting. Then that leads me to wonder that we must be afraid often and we must need encouragement frequently. And the great and gracious I Am tells us here in this passage, he speaks to us and lifts us up, and he desires that we would be at peace in times of trial. Now the situation is the disciples are on the boat, they're crossing sea, and Christ is not with them. We're going to look at chapter 6 and starting in verse 45. And straightway Christ constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on land. And Christ noted, he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, Christ came unto them walking upon the sea. And he would have passed by them, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately, when he noticed that they were troubled, fearful, afraid, immediately he talked with them and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now this is also the place recorded that Peter, when he noticed him walking and when he heard his voice and realized who it was, he said, let me come out. Can I come out with you? This text, we'll see where it goes from here, but this text, what I want to look at is just verse 50. I just want to look at this phrase, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." It could also be rendered, "Be of good courage," or "Be of good confidence." Our confidence is in Him. It is I, the great I Am, the one who pre-existed before anything was. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. So I want to look at a few things and some passages to comfort us that it is Christ. It is I. It is I who formed you in the womb and brought you forth into your present existence. It was Him. It is I. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says that He has loved us, His people, His elect, His chosen, the remnant, from before eternity. I have loved you with an everlasting love. It is I. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I who speak. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And then in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, when God, who separated him from his mother's womb and called him by his grace. There was never a time, and we don't really realize this when we're in a lost state, we're in a lost condition, until he makes us willing in the day of his power, and then he begins to teach us and to train us up as children that he's always loved us. I mean, we never thought about such a thing. It is I. Be not afraid. Surely he will not forsake you, because you are the darling of his heart. When you have need, he says, be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be of good confidence. And if your confidence is in yourself, then you should be afraid. Whether you're young or old or middle-aged, time is going to catch up with us. And you're going to start losing your memory. You're going to start losing your strength. When you're younger, you don't have the wisdom that older believers have. So you don't quite understand sometimes how things, the battles, the warfares that we have. It doesn't matter. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. That's the key. Be not afraid. Secondly, it is I, the Lord your God, who has fed you and clothed you from that hour up until the present moment. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. And as I said, this passage is recorded in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. So the Holy Spirit seems to indicate that it's important to us that we see this, and it must be that we often are discouraged, we are often afraid, but he says, be of good courage. It is I. He's the one speaking, the eternal I am. Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse 28. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? It is I. It is I. And David himself said that he has not ever seen the righteous begging bread. Our Lord sustains us and shall ever preserve us indeed. Thirdly, it is I, the Lord your God, who has preserved you on every side. When you were upon a sick bed, it was I, the Lord your God, who visited your soul, raised up your body, gave you that measure of health which you now enjoy. Hezekiah knew this right well in 2 Kings chapter 20. He knew this right well. As he lay dying on his deathbed, the Lord was merciful to him and gave him yet more years to serve and to worship him. It was him. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Whether we sickness, health, love, hate, all these different things, the emotions that we have, that just constantly flood our minds and flood our hearts, hard to keep down. Step back and look at that. Look at that passage in Mark 6 and verse 50. He spoke because they knew his voice. That's one thing that I'll never forget. I, as long as I've got sand in my mind, is when we were at the hospital and Kara was born. And I have no idea how they do it now, but the nurse was walking down the aisle. She had at least 10 kids, and they're pushing them all down, and then they take one, they put one in this room, that one, And Melinda, the babies were in the hall. And I never forget her saying, I can tell which one Carrie is. I know that cry. I know that cry. And isn't our Heavenly Father aware, infinitely more aware, of our heart's cry? And He responds only because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. What a gracious God. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Fourthly, it is I, the Lord your God, who placed you in the situation of life, who placed you in the situation of life which you do now occupy. Sometimes we struggle with, well, should have, could have, would have. That's not the vocabulary of the believer. Well, if I'd have done this, you know, this wouldn't have happened. Or if I was, you know, and you know, we beat ourselves up. But that's not the language of the believer. It is I, the Lord your God, who placed you in the situation of life which you do now occupy. And Melinda made a comment this morning before I came here. She said something about the 3 years that I spent at AAA. It was three miserable years, but it was his years. It was fine. You know, I learned a lot through that ordeal. He placed me there. And for me to kick against the pricks and to complain and murmur, that wouldn't have honored and glorified him. So I have to step back and look once again, be of good confidence. It is I. Be not afraid. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. All things. All things. Do we really believe that? Every single thing. Whether it's a sickness, a health issue, whether it's finances, whether it's position, accidents, troubles, it's all things work together for good. To know this, as Paul did, removes from the heart and soul discontentment, murmuring, and dissatisfaction. What it does is it promotes praise and joy and rest in the Lord God, who has all things under His hand. And that's when you're sitting there and you're looking at a loved one, be it a child or a parent, a nephew, cousin, when you're looking at somebody who's about to leave this world, that's a difficult time. That's very difficult. And yet, He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. We are not exempt from any of what we would call life's tragedies or catastrophes or any of those type of things. But in them, we can have a measure of peace. Sixthly, it is I, the Lord your God, who deals out to you every trial, who allots you every affliction, who brings upon you every cross, who works in you everything according to His own good pleasure. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. Not only is it given for you to believe, but also to suffer. Isn't that what He says? It's given. Well, let's turn there. Philippians chapter, I believe it's Philippians chapter 1. I didn't even look this up. I probably should have done that. Yeah, Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. Now, if that word wasn't in there, we'd be vulnerable. In the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, so it's a grace to believe. You can't believe unless He gives you grace, but also to suffer for His sake. I, the Lord, it is I who deals out every trial, allots every affliction, who brings upon you every cross, who works in you everything according to His own good pleasure. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Be confident. Be confident. It is the Lord our God. The dross must be revealed so the vessel fit for the master's use will grow and blossom. That's the way he does. That dross, it's got to be exposed, got to be revealed, even unto ourselves. That was when Linda was looking over a Bible class for the kids this morning, Cain and Abel. Cain, he never was sorry for what he did. Never. And not only that, but he expected, he thought he was doing God a favor. And that's how religious people are. Because Cain was religious, what he brought the best of what he had. Abel said, I can't bring anything. I'm going to bring somebody else, a substitute, to represent me. God accepted that. And you know, God never, he never accepted, nor looked at, nor thought about it, the other sacrifice. And that's the way with the religious people. And that's the way we were. We're going to church. God, he's not even paying attention. He's not even paying attention to what's being said. So, well, I don't. He is only interested in his gospel about concerning his son for his people. That's the way it is. But Cain, he just kept bringing the best he could do. And that's how religious people are. They feel that God will accept it. They feel that God should be honored. Isn't that right? Isn't that how you listen to people talk? That God should be honored because I've done something. It's Good Samaritan week. Boy, I'm going to shine this week. No. 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 He never understood what it meant. First of all, he didn't understand God, that he's holy and has no regard for the best that we can do. He only has regard for Christ. And that's why this is even the more precious. It is I. Be confident. I'll take care of you. I've taken care of you from the time that doctor swatted your hiney and you started howling. We didn't know it. And in the fullness of time, he revealed his son to us. And now we know it's been him this whole time. Be not afraid. Now tomorrow, like everybody here just about, got to go to work tomorrow. Now there's going to be things to fear. There's going to be things to be concerned with. And to some extent, that's part and parcel of your job. You should be concerned about certain things. You shouldn't just be, I don't care if the kids get educated or whatever, you know. No, you should strive to honor and glorify him in wherever. But to take anxious care. Because he says he cares for us. It is I. He says he will not leave us comfortless. The Holy Spirit, he said, when he left, the disciples were all upset. Where are you going? He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to make these things known to you. And he's going to comfort you. I will not leave you comfortless. And in the Proverbs chapter 8, he says, his delights are with the sons of men. They're with the elect, the sons and daughters of his choosing. Even before time was, in that passage in Proverbs, he's talking about before time was. He said, my delights are with the sons of men. It is I. And I love this passage in John chapter 13 and verse 1. That it is I who loved you, and he loved his own even unto the end. He ever loves his people. Even unto the end. So when we can thus believe that the Lord our God is about our bed, he's about our path, and he's spying out all our ways, then we can look up to him and feel that he is the Lord our God. There's no feeling more sweet more blessed, more heavenly. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Closing, let's turn to Isaiah 43. And if you want to get some promises and store them up and use them when you need them, like Spurgeon said, take them and then once you have needs, spend them at leisure. Here's a bunch of them. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. You know, of course, these things about promises, some people have different views of it and whatnot, and it can be, I don't know, controversy. The Lord, He shows these things to us. But the first time, and I didn't understand what promises, the personal, until, and we had met, but we weren't dating or nothing, that stuff. I remember where I was at in the situation, but I was threatened. I was threatened to get my clock cleaned. It's going to get whipped, get beat up because of my stand for the gospel. I remember very specifically. And then I went back to my room. I was staying with my aunt. I went back to my room and just was reading. I was trying to find some comfort. And the Lord revealed to me a promise. Now you can say what you want to. You can say you got all emotional. It doesn't matter. The promise was very specific to my need. And what He said He was going to do is He was going to protect me. And nothing, this is the way it was worded, nothing was going to happen to me. Now, you can say, well, you know that, I don't care what, it's, again, this was me. And I believed that promise because all the promises in Him are yea and amen. Whether you got, promises about kids or whatever the situation may be, they're in here for the believer's use and edification. And I hesitate to stop right there. Ralph Barnard, he's the one the Lord used to bring Henry to the gospel. There's a e-book, Grace e-books. Just read the preface of that. Just read the first part of that and see what his mom did concerning Ralph. I'm looking and I'm like, what? It's kind of bordering. It's not works, but it's kind of this way out there. No, she believed the promise. Before he even met the Lord, and she was telling these different churches Ralph comes up and goes, he made a profession years ago. He didn't understand the gospel at all. Made a profession. Got baptized. It's all nonsense. And his mom had been praying for him all the time. And then he was a very good speaker. So, Southern Baptists, if you're a good speaker, they're going to put you to work. Well, to make a long story short, something happened. The pastor resigned. And he's like, I don't know the gospel. I'm found out. And he was struggling. And they called him and said, you're doing a good job in Bible class. Just take this pulpit. And and then the Lord did something for him. And then when he went back to tell the board or whatever, he said, good, this lady who's been writing us for years can finally stop writing us. It was his mom. She said, press him. She said, press him. He doesn't know it, but the Lord's going to use him. I don't know. Promises? Well, that's promises. Look at here. But thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You're mine. You're mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And going back to my little corner of the world, huddled in that room, scared to death, the Lord gave me a promise. I don't know how you're going to do it, because this guy's already promised. He's going to wear me down. And he could have done it very easily. About 30 minutes later, I got a phone call from that same guy apologizing, he said, I'm not going to do anything to you. Is it because I believed? No. It's because he gave me a promise. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba before thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Our problem is, like I said before, I don't know here's our problem. We judge everything by sight and sense. That's what we do. Here's the fundamental difference, I'll read it again, between the man of faith and the man of unbelief. The unbeliever is of the world. He judges everything by worldly standards, views life from the standpoint of time and sense, and weighs everything in the balances of his own carnal reasoning. But the man of faith brings in God. I am he. It is I. The I am. He brings in the sovereign God. He looks at everything from God's standpoint, estimates values by spiritual standards, and views life in the light of eternity. Doing this, his heart is calm in the midst of storm. Doing this, he rejoices in the hope and glory of God. Why? Because God said it. And he has given us grace to believe it. So let's believe it. And let's give him all the praise and glory. Bruce, would you close us, please?